Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the program tonight, and welcome to the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And a matter of fact, I'm wearing the Astros jersey tonight because Houston is taking on the Texas Rangers at this very moment, just a few blocks right down the road here. And go Astros, our seventh time being in the ACLS. And this is going to be an awesome, awesome series. And this is game one tonight. And maybe during the commercial break, I'll give you an update. I believe it's 1-0 right now. The Rangers squeaked out a run a while ago, but it's still way early in the game. Want to just welcome you to the program this evening. We have a very special guest tonight, and it's going to be a very particular situation that we'll share with you when I bring them into the program. And I always like to provide information to the listening audience that we have completely around the world. And my phone will start, I promise you tonight, my phone's going to start blowing up. I think Facebook is going to start blowing up. I believe we may even get, TJ, you may want to make sure you're ready to answer the phone, because this is about a situation that we have never really talked about, but I know it is a very serious situation. And our guest tonight is a professional about it. Because she went to school to learn, no, because she went through the school of life of it and learned it the hard way, the school of hard knocks. And you will understand that as we bring the guest in here very shortly. There's two or three ways to get involved in tonight's program. One that is the easiest is simply dialing a toll-free number. Won't cost you a penny, 888-627-6008. And the awesome people at BBS Radio Station will answer the phone and patch you right in to talk to the guest or myself or both. And we can do that anytime during the program. When I see that a phone call is here, we'll patch you right on through. And feel free to ask the question or say the comment, and then you can go right off. A lot of people don't want to be heard around the world and a little more shy. So you can actually text during the program, 832-396-6525. That'll ring my personal cell phone, and I will read the text during the commercial break. Or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page right now, and it is up and running because I'm watching it right over here to the side. It's going live right now. You can comment straight there, and we'll read those comments as we go along the program or questions and share that with our audience. You know, I always like to share just a few minutes before we bring the guest in, just on something maybe that I've learned this week. I shared it this morning with the folks at church, and I just want to share it with you in a little different way tonight. You know, it seems like we've had a wild week in our world, and sometimes you personally can feel like maybe what Israel is going through right now, with being hit from every direction with emotional, personal, financial, spiritual, relational missiles that are just coming in out of nowhere. And maybe it happened to you and it completely blindsided you like it did Israel last weekend. And you feel like you are personally in your own war. Sometimes it may be a war that you're battling within yourself. It may not even involve anybody. These wars could be financial. The stress and anxiety and trauma could be job related. It could be in a relationship that you have with your friends or your significant other or your spouse. It can be all kinds of different battles, different wars that's going on. And what that initially does and automatically rears up inside of us is this four-letter word, fear. And in that fear, sometimes it shuts us down. We don't know how to handle fear. And I've dealt with this. I've had to deal with this, and I'm sure I'm going to deal with it even later on in life. I know I'm going to with my health. I know I'm going to with some major decisions that I need to make in my life. I want to make sure that I make the right ones. But when fear comes knocking at our door, I want, and I hope you do, send faith to answer it. Don't try to do it on your own. Have a little bit of faith there, and don't run away from your fears, but run over them and make them roadkill. Don't be afraid. And I have a feeling that our guest may have some wisdom on this tonight, because I think in the relationship that she was in, by reading her memoir, had a lot of fear. What do I do? How do I get out? Am I going to be safe? Do I stay, and how am I going to live? How do I deal with this? And I want to tell you what, and if you want to lean into the computer a little bit tonight or to your cell phone, the best way through that fear is what I just said, is to get through it, is make the step towards it, and then right on smack dab through the middle of it. Fear has two meanings, F-E-A-R. And the first meaning could be forget everything and run. Or it could face everything and rise. There is a better life for you. You sitting where you're at right now and allowing fear to marinate into your spirit, into your mind, into your whole day, into your week, into your life is only going to make you bitter, not better. So you have to be able to face that fear and then go for it. Fear is the death, is a destroyer, is the thief of your dreams. Fear is a destroyer, a thief of a better life. Don't fear. And the cave that you may fear to enter literally holds the treasure that you're seeking. So don't fear. Don't be afraid. You know, Babe Ruth, even, you know, the great legendary baseball player said, don't let the fear of striking out hold you back. You have to go up there swinging. And sometimes we need to swing harder, faster, and more often than what we ever, ever have. Don't run away from your challenges. Face them head on and don't fear. Tell you what, I hope that means something to you. It sure means something to me. When you get that call from the doctor, when you get that letter in the mail, when you get those divorce papers served to you, when you get the pink slip in your paycheck, I don't even know if they do actual paychecks anymore, but in your paycheck or hanging on the door of your office and it's saying you got 30 days and you're out. How do you handle that? Don't give up. Don't crawl up in a ball and lay on the floor. Don't whine. Don't complain. Just get up, face it, and go through it. You have the resiliency inside of you. Resiliency is something that you cannot and will not find in a book, at Walmart, at Lowe's. It's not there. You can't build it. It is already inside of you. So no matter how hard that issue is in your life, keep on facing it, walking towards it, and that concrete floor will start cracking off, open. And I promise you, that seed of determination, of belief, of faith, and strength that you have inside of you will start coming up through that hard ground or that concrete and will start blossoming. One little seed of faith, of belief, of not giving up, and depending on hope to keep watering that seed over and over and over again. I needed to hear that this week. If you don't need to hear it tonight, I probably would bet 5 to 1 this week you're going to run across somebody that needs to, or you're going to need to understand it and hear it again this week for yourself. Now, I'll put that soapbox to the side. I want to welcome to the program tonight a very special lady, a lady that is sharing her story tonight and will not be sharing her visual face this evening. All we will hear is her voice. So unfortunately, folks that are watching this and not on the literal radio, but you're watching it on Facebook or something of that kind of platform, you're going to be stuck with seeing me. She goes by an alias of Virginia Bennett. That's how she wrote her book that is called Snowed. It is a memoir that is probably as raw and honest and engrossing of a story of any book that I have ever read. And if you've been watching this program for over 4 years that we've been on, I tell you what, you understand that that has to be a pretty powerful book because we've had some big major league hitters and authors on our show. But I tell you what, she rises to the top one or two of being the most intriguing and honest storyteller about her own life. And it's about a life that millions of women like her are facing this very evening. I want to bring you to the program. I don't want to waste any more of her airtime. You'll be just hearing her voice tonight, live from someplace in California. And I want to welcome to the program Virginia Bennett. Virginia, can you hear me this evening?
Yes, I sure can. Thank you so much for having me on your program, Dr. Williams. And thank you for that very nice introduction. And I really appreciate that, the time here on your program.
Well, it's great to have you. And I know it may be uncomfortable. I don't know if you do a lot of interviews or not. I did find a couple interviews and listen to them. And you do a great job of telling your story. But your book, called Snowed, S-N-O-Y-E-D, Snowed, has a little peach in the snow. Where did you come up with the title? I understand why the title, but where did you come up with the title and then this piece of fruit in the middle of snowbank? How did you come up with that?
Well, Snowed, after this experience, I kept thinking, you know, I really wanted to help people in some way. If I could even only help one person by telling my story, that I would be very grateful for that. And, you know, snowed, as you said, is, you know, to be deceived or deceptive, you find that out after the fact, which is, you don't even realize you're being snowed until you're snowed. And the peach is many things in our relationship, whether it be the peach color, peach, the fruit. There were quite numerous things in there that involved peach. And peach is the delectable, tasty, very, nice fruit. But that's why I wanted to put that in there. It's kind of a contradiction, because you can't grow fruit, you can't grow peaches in snow. But I just wanted to put both of those on the cover, because those are two very important things in the book.
Virginia, is this your only book that you've written?
Yes.
First time at it, and when did you decide that you wanted to put this ink to paper? But in your case, emotional blood on paper. When did you decide you wanted to do that?
That it was a few years after that I was able to work through some of the post-traumatic stress that I had, and the realization that this occurred. And then to write it was very hard, and I was very honest. And at times I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm writing this. This is embarrassing that this happened to me. But that actually, I guess, is the point, that it can happen to many, many people, and has happened to many people. So I wanted to share my story, that they are not, that whoever this has happened to, they're not alone, and that there's help out there for them, and just to share how I got through it.
And before we let people know what you went through, because we haven't even heard the story yet, was writing this down as honestly as you did, and I applaud you for that transparency and authenticity. There's not much of that in this world today, but you can tell from page one to the very last page, you poured it all out. How therapeutic was that for you to help you deal with it now, knowing that there's hundreds, thousands of people that may be getting help from reading your own story? How therapeutic was that?
Well, that is that very, as you exactly are saying, that was very helpful, knowing by writing it that I hopefully could help somebody. And that was what kept me writing it, actually, because at times I wanted to stop. Just, it was too embarrassing. But yeah, I kept going, and I'm sure glad I did.
Yeah, so there is on the other side of the door, a life that can be enjoyable again, correct?
Exactly. And at times you don't think that it can. You think that this is just that is it's just it, that you can face friends or family from what you've done, or what you found yourself in, I should say, because it's not really what we have done, other than sometimes things in our personalities can attract that. And so that was also a realization that I found out, and I wanted to write about that, to help people also, that some of us are just more vulnerable to others, to that t to this type of a person that I was with.
When you, and then I'm going to, here after this question, I'm going to just hush up and let you tell your story. But did you have a bad picker with picking the love of your life because of anything that happened to you in your past? Or is this was just literally such a good snow job, you thought you had a winner?
Well, that's a very good question. And he was a con artist to the nth degree. And I think it was my second marriage. And he was everything that I thought that a person could be. And, but he was not who he portrayed to be. So I don't know that the picker, I know what you're saying. And I wish I had picked somebody else, that's for sure. But I found myself in that situation. And yeah, I don't that that's a very good question, because I think that has to do a lot then with our personalities, and exactly our past, and what's happened to us in the past, and how somebody is treating us. It's that we are drawn to, that maybe makes up for things that have happened in the past, that we think that this will be a good thing. And can find ourselves that it's not.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, I'm going to hush. Tell the story for our listening audience that haven't read the book yet. And you can get the book right on Amazon right tonight, and we'll talk about more of that later. But we have about 8, 9 minutes before we're going to take our only commercial break. But the floor is yours. How did this story come about? And tell whatever you want to share about the story to us so we can understand what this memoir book of your life is all about.
Okay, well, so I did not date after my first marriage, after my divorce with my children's father for a couple of years. I was not going to. I was fine. I was happy. I was just, you know, we had a good relationship, working relationship with the children. And I didn't want to date, but I had a very good girlfriend who was like, oh no, you can't just sit here in the house. You know, you got to get out and you got to do things. And so that's what encouraged me to, and she came over and she's like, okay, let's write this out. You know, she wanted to a dating website. And I did that and then went on, I mean, I like at least, well, actually 19 dates. And this was the 20th date when I connected with the man that I had eventually married. And we, you know, emailed back and forth and then on the phone and then had, you know, the first date was this beautiful restaurant and he was, you know, charismatic and very engaging. And he was seemed so interested in everything that I had to say and asking questions. And, you know, again, like in my past, there had been people that just didn't even, you know, didn't really want to hear what I had to say. And so he became all those things that just even in the first date of talking about a lot of different things. So then we shared things in common in our backgrounds, which then drew us even that much more together. And when we, you know, we started our relationship, and after about 2 years is when we got married. And then my father was pretty much on to him, but again, he was very, very good. And so my dad did not come to the wedding. And so that started a few things with them. But my dad also showed me unconditional love, and he continued. We are in agriculture and continued our relationship and called up and said, let's go to breakfast. You know, he just like, okay, she did this. Let's just keep on, you know, okay, let's keep on going. And so, but as time went on, he did a lot of, he quit his job. He wanted to work for my dad. My dad hired him and then started a horrible relationship between the two. And I did not know what to do. I was caught in the middle, and that was very, very difficult because I love my family, and he very much was, I don't want to, well, he started putting doubt in my mind. That's what he was trying to do about my family, about my son, my relationship with my father. Anyways, as time went on, things got very tumultuous, and he ended up, I won't say a whole lot, but he ended up stealing some intellectual property and, you know, was denied it, and things just got really, really, really intense. And I found out that the story, when you talk about resiliency in your introduction, the story really is, we have things in us in reserve that we don't even know that we have.
Yeah.
And I do know that my faith in God and even the knowledge, if you look around us in nature, there were things that were like pointing, trying to help me, and I was just oblivious until it was all over and putting things together. But also it helped me when things are really, really bad and we're thinking, why is this happening? Well, I learned it's not so much why, but it's what for. And if we can not be afraid and have that fear, as you spoke about, not run but rise, that was so well said, that to take it one day at a time, also just one day at a time, even an hour at a time. I took it an hour at a time. Sometimes just I could barely make it through, but I took it 1 hour at a time, you know. And once I realized the what for that I talk about in the book, that really, really helped me to get through it. And that is, again, in writing the book, that there is hope, and to trust that, you know, that our that things will get better. You know, hope is really everything it is to help us to get through each day. So I think that's, it's kind of a summary of
right.
it.
How long did the relationship last? Okay, let me ask a couple questions. So the audience may have some more they can call in. Once you married, when did it start to enter into your mind? Hey, wait, something's funny here. How long was it in before you saw another side?
So in all honesty, and I talk about in the book, there are some things before we got married that I really, that were red flags. People will say, you know, ask me, weren't there any red flags? And there were a couple, and it has to do with money. And, but, you know, you just kind of like brush it aside, like, oh, you know, he needs this. The reasons seem very, very legitimate. That they have an answer for everything he did. He just, no matter what I asked him, he had an answer for everything. So then when we did get married, yeah, there were some things in about a year that I did not, I thought, is this really going to last? But it did. And it just kind of snowballed. The things got worse and worse and worse of what was exactly in the beginning. And I just kind of like just looked the other way.
And how long did the relationship last before you said, hey, I can't live like this any longer?
2 years we dated and 5 years in marriage. But the last year I was, you know, asking him to change some things, but that would not happen. So at the end of the fifth year, that was when the whole thing had to change. I had to get out.
When you wrote the memoir, Snowed, that I want everybody to get, just listen. Did it automatically, because I'm assuming you don't use his real name in the book.
Correct.
Right.
I don't.
And I think you use Liam. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Liam is your husband in the book. And what is there fear that there may be some retaliation if he finds you or knows where you're located at or things of that order? Or is it just for your own peace of mind? I really don't want my real name out there, or me, because if my real name's out there, most people will be able to figure out pretty quick who I'm talking about.
Well, both of those. I don't want people to know his name, and I do fear I do fear, oh, I shouldn't fear, but I would not want any retaliation or any type of anything coming back to me if he does put it together.
Right. I'll tell you what, we're going to take our commercial break right now. We're at the bottom of the hour. So on the other side of this, though, I really want to talk about your experience and drill in a little bit deeper. And if there's women or men that are watching this tonight and they find out, hey, wait, this is about me. This is the type of relationship that I'm in or whatever. I want to know, what would you tell them? How can you spot some red flags? How can you understand how to deal with them and things? So we're going to drill into that a lot deeper on the other side of this commercial break. If people want to get involved tonight, the listeners, 888-627-6008. You will not want to miss now the wisdom that comes from her, from her memoir story in the book called Snow. Hang with us. We'll be right back after this very, very short commercial break.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book, describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back to the program this evening. The score is still 1-0. Texas Rangers are leading the Astros. Just in case you're thinking about, hey, wait, I'll click off the show to find out the score. No, hang right here with us. We'll keep you updated. Don't leave us, because you're going to want to hear this last half hour of our guest tonight, Virginia Bennett, the author of her memoir called Snowed. Virginia, when you were in the situation of being in this abusive relationship, it was only, I don't mean only as making it smaller, but the abuse was predominantly emotional, not physical. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Would you have preferred it to be physical because of the damaging upheaval that this does to a person's psyche and mental stability? Would have been easier if he just hit you than it would have been to deal with this game of finding out that he was a man that you didn't even know.
Yeah, At times I did think that, like, because a bruise is, you can see the bruise, it hurts, but then it goes away.
Yeah.
And I can't really speak. I know that there's people that are terribly physically abused. Yeah. And that still remains. What's interesting is that the emotional abuse in intimate relationships is just as detrimental as the effects of physical abuse. Yeah. And there was a study in the National Library of Medicine that was very interesting, and it states that the law recognizes physical and sexual violence as crimes against the individual, but not emotional. So unless the person has committed fraud, which there is fraud, that you find yourself in, that it is very difficult to pursue that avenue versus the physical, but it is just as detrimental. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Did you have any children with Liam?
No.
Okay. Not. Thank the Lord for that.
Correct? I know exactly. Thank the Lord is correct. He's right. Yes.
Because there would have probably been a string there that you would have had to go, oh, now what do we do? So at least there is a blessing on every situation.
Yes, yeah. This is true.
What kind of wisdom, if you were sitting across at a restaurant with two or three ladies that are going through this in their life, and they're going, hey, we've read your book. Help me. How do I watch for this? How do I recognize it? How do I, and there's a lot of how do I's. What's some of the first things that ought to make anybody in a relationship go, now wait, that was strange. Did anything ever happen inside your gut that you go, this just don't seem right?
Well, there were some things financial, but I think sometimes when we overshare, and that's what that is what happens in this type of a relationship, or can, of oversharing with these type of people, sociopath, and they log away because they are thinking about what you're saying and calculating. It's very calculated as to when to make you feel that they're everything that you think that you are. You know, they take on your persona, but it could be because they are listening. And I think sometimes, and when we first meet somebody, all of the things that we want, they all of a sudden, that's not all of a sudden, but it is all of a sudden in their life that that is the same as we are. And, chameleon comes into my mind for, he was definitely a chameleon. But also what's very hard is a person like this has very high testosterone levels. So speaking of men and women, there are women in this situation or men in this situation that have been duped by women, but I will just speak of as me as a woman and the man, and they can, the testosterone, and then once it becomes sexual, it is very difficult. The dopamine in our brains that just trigger other natural hormones that are related to that just it's like a reward system. The more you're with that person, then the more reward, then the more and more you want to be with that person. And it is difficult because family members can tell you, hey, I don't think this person is, why do they say that? Or, we went on vacation one time and my girlfriend's, it's like he didn't even talk to them. And I thought, well, that's odd. He's really nice. He's so friendly. And so that though stuck in my head. And that was after everything unraveled, they saw that, which I did not, because I think when we're in it, when we're in love is blind, and we don't want to hear things that are negative sometimes, even though our friends can tell us. And that, yeah, I think, did I answer that? Your question.
Yeah. Do you feel, looking back at it now and after really going through probably every emotion and every situation in your mind to write a book, because that's one thing why it's so therapeutic. You go, okay, no, wait, then it brings back, oh, that happened too. And then that, oh, there's another page I need to write on, because it just starts peeling back all these different layers, and it becomes a really engrossing book because you can feel it, the intensity of it rise. Do you feel
Thank
that
you.
he knew from the beginning, I'm going to try to find someone that I can dupe? Or was it just a very bad character flaw that the man has, and you just happened to be with him? Was it premeditated psychopath activity when he picked you on that dating site or reached out to you or you guys got together?
Yeah, I do think that it is he, they search, and maybe they can date one person here, and maybe it doesn't, click, or that person doesn't respond to them. And I do think that it's just a matter of numbers until they finally, then they do get somebody that does respond to them, and then they can do their, masquerading to everything that you are. And they do choose certain types of women in this instance. And I had a lot of site of counseling, which I did not want to believe my counselors in the very beginning when I would explain certain things in the relationship. I just couldn't believe them because they didn't, in my mind, know Liam like I knew Liam. And they so th there is a certain type that they go for, and I have that in the book, so I don't know if you I don't know if I should say that here.
Do you feel that at the beginning of the relationship or even on the dating site, you opened your heart too quickly and shared things that as you look back on it, going, wow, I let him in awful fast. I allowed a lot of bait that he could put on his hook to be able to draw me in, because sometimes you just open up when you find somebody that cares for you and you care for them somewhat, and then you just share everything. So you let your guard down. Did he take advantage of that?
And also in the very, very beginning, those dating sites, I am amazed. I mean, I haven't done that since then. But the information that people will give about themselves, and they, and I have seen this in another instance from somebody, another friend in person, that they will change if you can look at like one person on those dating sites, then another person's not, they'll change what they have to say to match what another person as simple as like poetry, or, oh, I like this. And then that person, oh, that person likes, oh, he likes poetry. I like poetry. Well, you know, when you start writing a lot of these themes that talk about yourself too much, it that gives them ammunition. That gives them a lot of things to first start out a relationship with to go by. Yeah.
After the relationship ended, how long ago has that been?
Well, that was quite a while ago. It took me a long time to write the book.
Right.
And that was about 10 years ago that it occurred. But it took me a good 2 years to get over that. It was.
You're probably still dealing with it, correct?
Well, I know I'm, well, actually, as far as I trust, but I verify. Before I, growing up, I just have always felt that, oh, you know, I trusted everybody unless they proved otherwise. And now I don't do that anymore. The person needs to, if to, you know, I verify everything now. And not in a fear way either, but just a more of a matter of fact, logical to protect myself. And I don't think that I cared about that when I was, you know, younger 10 years ago. It was just more like, oh, who's that person? And great. And we're, you know, get along. And he's friendly and nice. And, you know, he was cool and charismatic. And his demeanor was just all like, it just, you know, it was everything they say that a sociopath can master.
So your boundaries are up a little bit more than what they were, than they are in the past with boundaries and guardrails?
Yes. My boundaries are up more, and the guardrails, and even actually in my business, I've been more aware of that also, in where I had before, and other women actually have told me that circumstances have happened similar, not even in a love relationship, but in a business relationship, in an office, and being taken advantage of. And which I also had studied and read a lot on a website called fraud.com, and that they share a lot of the similar circumstances, which again, I didn't want to listen to any of those in the very beginning at all. I could not believe that that was happening to me. And yeah. I need to mention, if it's okay, the movie or the actual what happened to the lady, but then they made a Netflix about it, was Dirty John. And he very similar, now not as similar in the physical aspect, but again, just drawing you in and making you feel that you're together, you know, you are one, you've met your soulmate, and that makes it very difficult to believe that this is not that person. And The Sociopath Next Door is a good book also.
There is a movie on Netflix. It's called Dirty John. That
yes, so it was a series.
You a good idea.
Yes, it was six parts. That was awesome.
Since we were talking about guardrails, and you know, guardrails are up and down the highways, and to keep people from hitting those instead of going off into deeper depths of hurt, pain, and possibly death. Along that road that you were traveling and you had let your guardrails fall, were there any signs on the road that were flashing, warning, you're being manipulated, warning, this isn't what it is meant to be? Was there any of those signs that you just flat overlooked that you could
talk
about it now that, hey, watch for this?
There was. And it, again, a lot had to do with money, and I'm very, you know, blessed. My family, I mean, they've worked very hard in what they have done, and what we have. I mean, it's been in agriculture, and my ancestors and we have all been in farming, and I in my heart. At times, the requests over and over for money, I thought, well, gosh, I have, you know, we what we have, like, isn't it to share? I mean, if we don't, what is it all worth? Anything that we have, if we can't share it. But it really then after I went through this whole thing, and then when we did in breaking up, you know, in order to get back, you know, when he started dangling these things that, you know, over my head about wanting this and that, I really started questioning that, you know, what does it mean to love someone? And at what point did you give somebody everything that you have? I mean, how much do you give of yourself? You know, if you give all of yourself, then how can you replenish yourself to be able to continue to give? And those are questions that are really, that were really hard for me. Because when you love somebody, you want to give them everything that you have, and you feel that it, that you get love back, but it's really not in the same manner.
When you experienced this, how long and how did you end up ending the relationship, getting out and say, hey, wait, I just can't do this anymore? How did you break away from the psychopath?
Well, I and what's crazy is that I was still so emotionally attached. I mean, absolutely. It's almost like a drug addiction. I mean, they know exactly continually what to say, how to keep pulling you in. And I did know that the only way to really cut this off was to not, I had to go cold turkey. I could not see him. And as much as I wanted to, and, you know, he wanted to come out for, you know, another holiday or this or that, but, you know, I need money, all those things, is just like, I couldn't do it. I could not do it, knowing that I was then really diminishing. I had nothing left, in my heart and my soul, but I had, that's where I drew, that I say with God and praying and taking it one day at a time, but I had to go cold turkey, and I had to have an exit plan. And I think that if a lot of people that are in this situation, they do need, if they can confide in friends and family. But then what happens though is sometimes friends and family get disgusted because they're like, can't you see this? And they get frustrated that their loved one can't see what this person, how this person is manipulating them so much. But that's also where then, gosh, we need forgiveness. We need patience when people are hurting, and try to help them in a way that helps them in that situation. I think if the counselors hadn't really continued to not lose their patience with me, that's what helped me. And then also contacting people that had known him, that he did not give me their names. I had to look up, I had to research, and that helped, because then it opened my mind to that it was not just me that he had done this to, because that was very hurtful also.
Right. Did the mother instinct in you cause you to want to help him, fix him, keep him?
Yes, exactly.
And bring him
back?
I mean, I still have hope in him. Did that come into play at all?
It did. Wow. And that is another personality trait that they can see and identify. And they feel they are the victim. You know, they are the ones that are being hurt, or why did you, you know, talk to me in that way, or I need this, or I need that, and can't you see all that I'm doing? They are very, very good at playing the victim when they are really not the victim. Yeah, and then so that does that, that pulls on my heartstrings. It did in my situation. Yeah.
Sure. We only have a minute or two. I knew this hour would fly, and you've been great, and I appreciate the authenticity and the openness and transparency. Snowed is the book by Virginia Bennett, I will make sure I get that out as often as we can. How do you, as we turn the corner for the next 90 seconds, how do you risk loving again? How do you trust again? What's some of the keys that helps you open your heart back up?
Well, to know more about the person, to know where they're coming from, and that other people know them, and that can talk well about them, and a good network of friends, because I think in this day and age, we could talk to anybody all over the world. You know, we can feel connected to anybody all over the world through the internet, and we need to be careful with that. And again, not fearing, have friends, but when you start involving yourself with someone, you really do want to make sure that they're honest. Because if you don't have honesty, you don't have anything. And we need to be honest with one another.
Before we close tonight, one tip that you would give to someone that's in this situation right now and they are leaning into the computer listening with every word you're saying, what can they do right now and what do they need to hear from you as we close the program? What would be your words of wisdom?
Well, to trust that if they think there's something wrong, there is something wrong. And to go with their instincts, to go with that inner voice. Because I think so often we just shove that aside. But that inner voice is really, we need to listen to that. That, and I would hope that they would listen to some, to their, you know, if there's something not right, to seek help. And also, I have a couple of resources in the back of the book that are really, really good. That really helped me and would help them with an exit plan and would help them even just to talk it over. Maybe they think, I don't know, this doesn't seem right, but you know, maybe I should talk to a professional. And they'll help, you know, sliding scale. I mean, there's organizations that if you don't think you could afford that they will work with you. They will really help. So I just that was important to me also to let people know.
Great wisdom. I tell you what, do you believe that that inner voice is God activated?
Yes,
I do
definitely.
too.
Definitely.
I think
It
women have
is.
a louder inner voice than us men. I think you're the sensitivity that a woman has is more able to feel it, be impacted by it, and hear it more than men are. And I think that's why. When that little alarm goes off in a woman's heart or gut, that ought to get everybody's attention because it's something that you need to hear.
This is so true, and I'm really glad that it's so good that you mentioned that you talk about that, because that is so important. It is, and we can just kind of tune it out and not realize that it is, that's our guardian angel, that's God that is helping us. And maybe men sometimes, you know, still have to be strong and you know, kind of like think, oh, I'm, you know, that's, I don't want to do that. Or if there is something that they hear, that inner voice, I'm really glad that you mentioned that.
I'll tell you what, it goes right along with your book because I think once they start snowing you and that snow gets pretty deep, only can that inner voice cause the snow to melt to get down to who the real person is. And I believe as long as they can keep recovered, they've got you manipulated. But if you listen to that voice and trust it, you'll end up finding out who the real person is. And Virginia, I appreciate so much you being on the program tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And I really appreciate your questions and the what you've gone through and the program here to help other people also. That's tremendous of what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, I'm just watching my phone literally go like this, like alarm going off with people texting me, so I know when we get off, there's going to be hundreds of people that I'm going to have to respond to. The first thing we want to know is the best way for them to get the book, is it through Amazon?
Yes.
Okay.
Amazon and Barnes and Noble, if that's around. Yes. And in the
Absolutely.
UK, it's also through, I know somebody has a couple of people have purchased it over there too. So it is available
Do you
around.
have a web page, or because of your wish to be unknown, do you have the so people
Yes.
can't? No, you do. Okay.
I
What's
have a
the web page?
website. Website is snowed, ED, snowed. SNOWED, true, TRUE, story.com. SnowedTrueStory.com. That is my website.
Snowtruestory.com.
Snowed past, yeah, snowed like the story, like the book, snowed, ED,
Right.
yeah, TrueStory.com.
Fantastic. Well, reach out to Virginia, get the book, especially if there's somebody at the office that you know of, you say, oh man, how can we get them to understand? and you're shaking your head, and maybe you're seeing it in a friend or another relationship, or maybe you're dealing with it, it'd be just worth having a copy of this book in your home to be able to read for yourself or somebody that you love that's in your family or circle of friends. I highly, highly recommend it. And then after you read it, put a review out on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, because those are so hard to get. And I know people will love it. So end up doing that and sharing your thoughts about the book on Amazon. Virginia, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome here anytime. Just let me know, and we'll and tell your PR person at the publisher that I appreciate them sharing your name with me. Awesome book. Highly recommend.
Thank you. Thank you
very
much.
Thank you. As we close every program out, I always like to end it the same way, and you found it out and you heard it in her voice. If you noticed it about 15 minutes ago, she talked about the one word we hang on every time as we close the program each and every week. You heard the word hope. There is hope. To hope to love again, to hope to get out of the situation that you're in, to hope for a better life. Never give up on that. No matter how bad and how covered you are with snow or life's troubles and crises, no matter how much abuse and hurt that you've experienced, trust in your gut, in a true friend, and in God himself to have you discover the hope. And then trust in your own self to reach down and grab that resiliency in yourself and keep on keeping on. God bless you. Join us right here next week for another edition live from Houston, Texas. And we'll see you next week. Have an awesome week. Breaking the Silence, 8 o'clock p.m. next week live. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.